broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Wow, this is already the broadcast for March 24th. In the year of our Lord, 2018, this is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. In the traditions of our founding fathers, hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. It is still available up on demand at libertyroundtable.com. We will never have an honest society with dishonest money at the core, ladies and gentlemen. The $1.3 trillion omnibus spending bill they passed could have never happened if we had honest money, folks. Let's be very clear. Congress approves $1.3 trillion spending bill and sends it to the Donald. The Donald sells us down the river along with Congress and signs it. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds. Shame, shame, shame. On both houses and both parties, says Senator Rand Paul, and no one, he says, no one has read it. It's a, what? Listen carefully. 2,200 plus page bill. They've signed it, but no one's read it, says Rand Paul. Well, he's spot on. Even the president says that. House approves the measure, 256 to 167. Senate, 65 to 32, we figured it all out, 61% voted in favor. So when it comes to pro-life, when it comes to shutting down communist or government health care, they can't even get 50% votes, folks. But now, as a whole, they got 61% to spend us into trillions of dollars, oblivious to reality. They said they had to do it. Now, Donald threatened to veto it. That's what he always does to get news, but of course he caved. As the president's prone to do whenever something critically matters, in my humble opinion. You see it over and over and over and over. Trump names John Bolton, former United Nations ambassador, to be his third national security advisor. Bolton, fresh from his Fox News role, joins Trump's parade of TV talent. You got Flynn, McMaster, Bolton. I mean, you got one of the most hawkish national security teams in history, and those three are hardly draining the swamp. Flynn, McMaster, Bolton, they're all government insiders from the get-go. Wow. If you want peace, prepare for war, says Trump's new national security advisor. Wow. I agree that you got to prepare for war. But the way they're going about it, they're not preparing for war. They're gearing up for war. We'll talk about that as the broadcast unfolds as well. And that was 1 hour of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday, brought to you in part by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, 801-669-2211, to learn more. We had our guest on second hour, Richard Mack, CSPOA.org, thefreedomcoalition.com. We talked about Richard Mack in California campaigning for the good guys right now. But it's hard because there's very few good guys. A lot of them talk the talk. But when it comes to walking the walk or bringing up the real issues, they melt down. They pretend they're constitutional, but then they back into the idea that, well, because the courts say they're constitutional, not because they really follow constitutional principles. Congress gives itself a bonus in the omnibus spending bill. What do you think of that? We talked about Adam Kokesh. He says, my name is Adam Kokesh, and I'm running for not president of the United States with the Libertarian Party on a platform of peaceful, responsible dissolution of the entire federal government. This is the revolution you've been waiting for, he says. I don't agree with him. I think there's a better way to go about it. That's just my humble opinion. But we are going to get Adam Kokesh on the radio with us so that he can speak for himself and y'all can decide what you think, but I personally believe that pure application of the principles that made America great is the answer, okay? Returning to the checks and balances, Americans getting involved. The founders said you have a republic if you can keep it, and the way we behave, how engaged we become, how moral we are as a people, those are the things that will decide if we can keep it. South Korea going to start turning off computers in the evening to stop people from working. Yeah, they say that South Koreans work more hours than any other nation on the planet. So just force people to not work is the idea, huh? Maybe you ought to reduce taxes and people won't feel so compelled to try to work so hard to pay for out-of-control governments everywhere, huh? Now, the Lewis Grand Hotel teams with Andriy Rudenko to develop world's first 3D-printed hotel. It's pretty cool. And they're working on 3D-printed homes as well. We're going to be working on some guests for that. I think that's a fascinating topic. And we're going to keep an eye on the ball. By the way, listener Brian emailed in. He said, I love all that, guys, about those 3D homes. Those are very cool. I wonder how much one of those printers cost. Well, Kurt talked about it. I think one of those things cost, what, 200 grand, Kurt, or 100 grand, something like that?
Yeah, 100 grand.
100 grand for the printer?
They could do 1,000 houses.
Anyway, pretty neat if you ask me. I mean, it's just, wow. That means, what, Kurt, $100
Then you have to replace $1,000 the cartridge, I guess, after that, you know.
The cement cartridge? Yeah. Anyway, if it's $100,000, that's like $1,000 a house to print, right?
No, if there's 1,000 houses, it would be $100 a house.
Oh, yeah, that's right, $100 a house. Okay, so that's impressive, right? Anyway, we're gonna try to get some guests on this because I think it's a valuable topic. We've had some guests in the past on some of the tiny homes and on steel homes, and we've done a variety of this stuff. We do need to find an innovative way for less expensive construction. That's for sure. And so, anyway, we'll keep an eye on this ball for you. But it's interesting technology, to say the least. My main point is, hey, it would be incredible if the government would just get rid of the regulations so that we could, you know, do these things. My problem is, in modern-day America, the joke is, hey, how's Noah going to build the ark? He's just sitting on the side of the road crying because he's just like, man, I tried to build the ark, Lord, but I went to the EPA, and they shut me down. I went to the county, and they shut me down. And I tried to put solar panels on there, and they shut me down. And then the government was trying to write me a check, but they wouldn't let me build it. And I don't know what to do, Lord. And so that's kind of the joke. And I don't think it's a joke, really. I think it highlights or underscores a real problem that we got a lot of regulation in America that really makes it impossible to do a lot of these good things. But you know what? We're working at it. We're keeping an eye on the ball, and we hope for some of these technologies to come to fruition ASAP because they are neat. You're right about that. Melania Trump puts the critics to rest and reminds everyone what really matters about bullying. Justin Caruso writes the piece. Anyway, Melania does a great job. She really promoted this random acts of kindness idea, and now she's promoting this idea that we need to stop bullying everywhere. We need to be very cognizant and aware. And I agree with her. And now everybody's attacking her saying, well, what are you talking about? Your husband's the biggest bully on the planet. And she just responds kindly, as she often does, and just says, hey, you know what? I'm just here to tell you what I'm working on. And I'm here to tell you that I'm right in working on this. And y'all ought to join me. And I agree with her, Kurt. Now, I hope that by her soft, you know, peaceful, kind influence, women oftentimes in some of the most humble, peaceful ways have a greater influence than you can possibly imagine. So maybe Melania, this is her way of trying to, you know, lead the nation, including her husband, and a little less, you know, incendiary rhetoric and a little more kindness, a little less bullying, a little more peaceful respect. And anyway, I think it's a good thing, and I'm not here to be critical. I don't look at, you know, who's right, who's wrong, and look for ways to divide. I'm looking for ways to unite. And I'm looking for ways to be on the right side of the issue all the time. It is right to try to reduce bullying in our society. It's right to be more kind and more gentle and more patient. A soft answer turneth away wrath. We need to work on this, folks, and Melania's right. And I'm not here to argue about her husband or anybody else. When she's right, let's give her credit and let's unite behind that right. And let's be on the right side of principles all the time. Or the correct side of principles all the time. If you're going to, you know, pull in the left-right paradigm thing. But all I'm telling you is Melania's right, and I give her credit. That's the recap of Friday's broadcast. It is free at LibertyRoundtable.com, but we welcome your donations, as the Widow's Might Radio Network can use every penny we can get to grow our presence in the media as we take center stage instead of dividing people, uniting people, and focusing on solutions to the difficult spots we find ourselves in modern society. There are solutions. There are good things happening everywhere, and Liberty Roundtable intends to bring it to you. If you find our work valuable or our efforts of value, please reciprocate. Donate to the Widow's Might Radio Network today. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Without further ado, News the networks refuse to use today starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome, sir. I told you there was a window of opportunity yesterday where Congress sold us down the river. They literally signed a 2,200-page bill, 2,232 pages. Nobody read it. Rand Paul pointed this out. Donald points out that nobody read it as well. But they still managed to sign something they haven't read. If you ask my opinion, that is a national security crisis of epic proportions. To sign into law something you have not even read, which means you don't even know what's in it, is a national security breach of epic proportions. But Donald Trump signs the spending bill, kind of hints that he's doing it under duress, pledges to never sign a bill like this again, but then he pretends it's a matter of national security, Kurt. He said, I had to sign this thing. I was compelled because it spends so much more for the military. We got to have the strongest military in the world. This is kind of a matter of national security. And so he sells us down the river. Trump, along with our representatives, ladies and gentlemen, struck a dirty deal. They literally signed something they've never read. Now, do you got to spend that kind of money to increase money for the military-industrial complex under a matter of national security while you sign a document that you don't even know what's in it and you ignore that reality that that's the national security breach we're talking about? What if the Russians put a line in there that said Vladimir Putin becomes the president of the United States or something goofy? I know that sounds extreme, but I'm making a point. Isn't that national security threat to sign something you haven't read?
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So Donald Trump and Congress literally sold us down the river. Trump signed spending bill, pledges to never sign another bill like this again, but he falsely claims or pretends that it's a matter of national security. Trump, along with our representatives, stuck a dirty deal. They literally fully funded Planned Parenthood coming out of this deal as well, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm going to play you what Donald said as he signed the bill. This is an absolute disgrace.
We had no choice but to fund our military because we have to have by far the strongest military in the world. I say to Congress, I will never sign another bill like this again. I'm not going to do it again. Nobody read it.
Donald tells you nobody read it, Kurt. That means he didn't read it. Now, if we're going to talk about national security, do you got to spend more money on the military-industrial complex and then kind of suggest to the citizenry that elected you that you kind of had to do it? You didn't really have a choice. But yet, at the same time, it's not a national security breach to sign something you've never read, 2,232 pages of who knows what we're signing and agreeing to? Congress, your representatives, you had 536 people. So 535 in Congress. Some didn't vote, but I'm going to count them as voting for it because they didn't oppose it. 536 people literally who lead our nation, who we elected, literally said we're going to sign a bill into law that we have not even read. 2,232 pages. We don't even know what's in it because we haven't read it. And we're going to sign it into law. Is that a national security breach, Kurt, or am I crazy on this one?
Well, I listened to, I believe, a lot more of what the president had to say than you did. I don't know.
Well, I cut out the piece that I want. That's all I listened to.
Yeah. I don't know the behind-the-scenes stuff, for example. Like, if let's just pretend that the president's aware of some military threat that could basically mean the end of the United States. I mean, as we know it, in other words, you know, let's say the Chinese have a hold of some certain weapon that if he didn't get this approved and be able to move forward, that it could basically mean that they could just say, hey, the United States is now Chinese. Then he would, you know, be right if he said, hey, it's a matter of national security. I've got to, you know, have this done so that, you know, then we can move forward and I'm not going to do another one of these. And I don't know if it really is. You know, my opinion is that most of the time, at least in our past, you know, history, that we just spend money that is way more than we need to spend, and that's pretty much what I believe is going on here. But I don't know because I'm not privileged or privy to those details of national security and all that kind of stuff. He outlined a whole bunch of, you know, the reasons that he was signing it. For example, the certain kinds of submarines, certain kinds of helicopters, certain kinds of, you know, ships, all these different things. Now, I know it could be that he's just simply doing that to say, look, I said I'd get the military right, and it's one way he could say, hey, that's checking off the list that I got that done. I don't know. I disagree with all the other stuff that is in there and the huge amounts of spending. I just don't know the details, so then I'm not going to say, hey, this is just a colossal failure simply because I don't know.
And that's kind of the difference between you and me. I'm going to say it's an absolute colossal failure. And the reason that I am is I agree with you that I don't know some of the internal details and workings, nor will I ever be able to know those. Okay, so let's just take it as a given that I'm never going to be able to know the inside workings of some of those things. And it's not possible for me to know. And if I want to take the attitude that because I don't know the internal workings that I can't really know, then I can't really comment on anything. Anything he does, I can say, well, since I don't really know, I have to kind of in good faith say that it's fine or that it's justifiable or that I can't say that it's a boondoggle to the utmost degree. I will say this. Let's say that they do have some kind of technology that would mean the end of America and the you know, takeover from China or whatever, as you put it. I would come back and say to you this, two things. Number one, we've got plenty of money in government that's already allocated to the military and already given to foreign nations that we could reallocate to this cause to accomplish whatever needs to be to defend ourselves. If that's really the case, there's plenty of money, plenty of budgets. Donald Trump can pull. I mean, look, They can shut down the whole government, and the thing still runs 50-plus percent of the government for months, even if we shut it down. They've got plenty of money that could be reallocated for this with or without Congress. The president could do that. If he can declare war and spend billions of dollars on, quote, defense or a national security issue, and he doesn't even need Congress because we can say, well, hey, we don't need a declaration of war. The president can unilaterally act because there's a crisis facing us. He has authority to do that. He's been given broad authority in a national security situation to spend any money or do whatever he wants, even commit us to unending wars for decades. Then certainly at some point you could say he could get that done without having Congress sign a $1.3 trillion omnibus spending bill. That's number one, I would say. From foreign aid right on down to wasting government that we see all up and down the line, right on down to he can unilaterally do what needs to happen to protect the nation. He's already got authority to do that with or without Congress. But secondly, and more importantly, I leave it second only because it's after the budget discussion, which I'm criticizing the budget. I'm not criticizing national defense. And that's where the difference is. I'm going to criticize the budget and say to commit to this was an absolute boondoggle, an absolute disaster, a complete failure by Congress and by the president. However, that doesn't mean that I think that national security is not important. I think it's absolutely of paramount importance. And that's why I would never sign a 2,232-page bill that I don't know what's in it. Because in that bill can be a massive national security threat of epic proportions. And I would submit to you that just as easily, if not more so, what if the Russians hacked the bill and put some legislative pieces into it that we might be bound by law? Now, they might be able to unwind the law at some point and say, okay, it's a law that never was. We all got schnookered as they dissect it later. But I don't support signing any bill that we haven't read and understand. How can you represent me, and I say it's by the consent of the governed, that this bill was signed on my behalf without even reading it? Okay, so I reject the signing of this bill for that reason. Now, the most important piece in my mind, though, is national security. And I ask you one question. What is the thing, if there was a single thing, Kurt, that you could pick, a single item, that you believe would increase our national security? Now, think outside the box here. But what single item could you do that you believe would increase our national security more than any other thing we could possibly do on the planet? What would you pick? And then I'll tell you what I would pick if it were me. Any idea? What would you pick if there was a single
item? Tell me the question.
What single item would you pick that would promote national security more than any other item? Donald thinks it's spending $1.3 trillion in a bill he hasn't read, which I submit to you is criminal to sign if you haven't even read it, if you don't even know what you're agreeing to.
Well, I don't think that you can really say that he thinks that that's the one single thing.
Well, he told you he had to do it under duress, and it was the necessary step.
Well, yeah, but
step.
He didn't say it was this one single thing that had to be done.
He didn't put anything else on the table, so I don't know what else he would choose, right? That's my point. He didn't put it on the table at all. This is the one that he agreed to, and he didn't give any alternative options or anything. All right, what would be the single item you would pick, Kurt?
To get God on our side.
That's right. Absolutely, unequivocally, beyond debate, to get God on our side. Now, how would we get God on our side, Kurt?
Well, we'd have to keep his commandments.
Yeah. Absolutely right. So how would we keep God's commandments? And one of the things we could do is we could reject Planned Parenthood, and we could say it's a national security crisis to allow the murder of 2,000 to 3,000 babies every single day. We're going to not do that. I cannot sign this bill for national security reasons. One, I haven't read it and I don't know what's in it. And nobody else can honestly say they've read it either. And number two, I'm not going to sign this because it fully funds Planned Parenthood. But in addition to that, what's the best way to prevent war in a nation, Kurt? Let's be honest. If this is a national security crisis, what's the best way ever, beyond debate, to prevent war? We'll talk about it in seconds. Kurt's with me on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I agree with Kurt. We don't know what the president knows about the national security situation. I agree with him. But I also don't believe that that should just shut my mouth forever because, you know what, I don't know, and so I can't talk. And hey, then I'll never be able to know. Okay, Donald Trump represents me in government. So does all other 435 members of Congress. And I have an obligation to speak out. And it's true, I'm going to have to speak out without knowing all the facts. Because there's no way for me to know all the facts. But that's not going to shut me up from doing what I think is right. And most importantly, making the points and focusing on what I believe the solutions are. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, I can't say anything, and I can't even engage in my government, because all I'd say is, you know what, I don't really know. How could I know? Therefore, hey, I got to trust them. No, here's what I know, Kurt. I know that there's plenty of money in government already allocated to take care of any national security threat we have if you give the president the authority without congressional approval of $1.3 trillion in increased spending on all kind of things all over the planet, like fully funding Planned Parenthood, right on down to who knows what. And I know to fund Planned Parenthood is one of the greatest national security crises of ever. If we murder 2,000 to 3,000 babies a day, and then we're running around wondering if the almighty author of our liberty will protect us, good luck with that one. You know, in I think it's Chronicles, we're basically told, hey, if we turn to God, he'll heal our land and protect us. It's biblical. It's correct. It's simple. It's courageous. It's honorable. And it's proven in history time after time after time. The best way we can garner our national security is by keeping the commandments of God and turning to him and not murdering the most innocent among us. And so, you know what? I appreciate it, but I cannot go along with this spending bill. It's an absolute failure. And the truth is, the best way to protect America is to turn to God. And if Donald Trump says, listen, we got a national security crisis, a serious threat here, therefore, I'm gonna, you know, reject this spending bill because I cannot fund the murder of 2,000 to 3,000 babies a day. And we're going to turn to God on our knees. And I'm going to use all the resources in government. I've assigned a committee to go through the budgets. We got to reallocate funds to protect ourselves. Okay, I get it. But I didn't hear really a single mention of God as the solution or the protection or the... Okay, and I don't know that we can have this discussion without turning to God. I believe God is the author of peace. And I believe if we turn to him, as the Bible says, that's the greatest national security protection we can get. And I also agree there's plenty of money on the table. They spend literally what? What is the budget annually? $4 trillion a year kind of thing? Okay, and they can't find money for national security? Okay, something's wrong with this picture, and I don't know that it matters if I know everything or not. And since I will never know anything, I've got to speak out with a clarion call of where I believe the solutions really are. So I want my representative, whether I know everything about what he's doing or not, I want him to turn to God. I want him to be a sackcloth and ashes guy and say, we got to repent, folks. We're facing a crisis of national security of epic proportions. I will not sign a bill that, you know, funds the murder of 2,000 to 3,000 babies a day. I will not fund the military-industrial complex, which gets us in unending wars. I will not fund or promote or sign a bill that I have not been able to read. I just will not do it. That's what I want my representative to do. So there's my take, Kurt. Any other comments, your take, etc.? I want to point out the solutions here. And I don't think that anybody that I've heard speak about this publicly has really focused on the solutions. Is anybody talking about the solutions I'm pointing to? And do you believe those to be the solutions, or do you think there might be other options that would be more advantageous or a better course to follow, if you will? Because to me, it's not a matter of who's right and wrong. It's a matter of what course ought we to follow? What ought we to do if there really is a national security threat? What in order, you know, hey, what things would we do if there's a national security threat? Should we just sign a bill we haven't read for $1.3 trillion? And act like it was kind of signed under duress, I'll never do it again? Or are there better actions we should and could take? What would George Washington do, I wonder? I'd be interested in the great general's guidance on this kind of stuff. Any comment here, Kurt?
No.
All right. Senator Maria Cantwell, for example, Kurt, you know who she is?
No.
She's a Democrat of Washington. She negotiated a provision in the spending bill to increase the number of affordable housing credits for the first time in a decade. So when they lowered taxes, Ben Carson and others helped engineer decreased spending on some of this housing stuff. Okay, the program called the Low-Income Housing Tax Credit enables corporations to lower their taxes by helping create some of this, you know, low-cost housing stuff. Well, while they ignore Kurt Crosby's opportunity to explore technology to build homes for $4,000 a piece, they literally double down, and they Senator Maria Cantwell finds a way to restore the money they took away when they did the tax cuts. Now she brought back, or whatever, shorted up, as they say in the article, this housing program. Poor Ben. I mean, he tries hard, Kurt, but they shut him down. They attack him over a $31,000 furniture buy that who knows how involved he really was in it. I don't even know. But then he tries to, you know, cut this affordable housing. Then they say, oh, my gosh, he thinks the Bible and him, the Bible tells him to cut support to the poor. And then, you know, Ben Carson does that. And now they just literally mock him and restore it all. And then, you know what? Congress goes along with it. Donald signs it. And hey, there you go. This is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about that I just can't accept. I can't accept restoring money for government housing at my expense. I can't accept the funding of Planned Parenthood. I can't accept more money in the military-industrial complex for war. I just can't do it. And I'll tell you the biggest reason Donald doesn't bring up returning to God and repenting, Kurt. Let's talk about the 60-minute interview. Here's an article that you brought to the table. There's a 60-minute interview coming up this Sunday, right, Kurt?
Yeah, there is. There's that, and then there's a, you know, one that just took place with a former, at least she says she had an ongoing affair with the president just a little while after his last son was born, you know, and I mean, it's just a sad deal for them and for their whole family, for the lady. This one is Karen McDougal is her name. You know, if I remember right, there was a McDougal in the whole Clinton deal, but you know, there's no talk about that now. But there's, you know, ongoing, you know, just I guess Rush Limbaugh called it porn coverage on CNN. You know, there's just this continual talk about these dalliances, I guess you'd call them, you know, in the world today. I'd call them these incidents of adultery by the president. He's said that, I guess through a spokeswoman or spokesperson, that they didn't happen. And there's just a lot of, what would you call smoke there? You know, and usually when there's so much smoke, there's a little fire. And so I just, you know, feel bad for Mrs. Trump and for their family. You got the oldest son now that's, I guess he's kind of followed in his father's footsteps. And he's in the middle of a divorce from his wife of five children. You know, and you, like this lady, this Karen McDougal lady that's been recently interviewed on CNN, you know, way down deep in the article, she points out that she just, you know, she says, I'm sorry to Mrs. Trump, and she feels very bad. She felt bad that her mom wouldn't want her to have done that, feels very guilty. And, you know, there's scripture that basically says that wickedness never was happiness. Even if
Amen
you
to
think
that.
You've got all these wonderful things and you're, you know, swimming in money and all that other stuff, you just can't do the wrong stuff and feel good about it. It's just
yeah, and I appreciate that Karen McDougal feels bad and stuff like that. That's good, but I honestly... don't know that I think she's credible. I don't know if Donald did these things or not. I agree with you where there's smoke, there's fire, Kurt. But when she says, I feel bad, you know, she goes in and talks about the details. Donald Trump in one of our affairs, he went and showed me the apartment and the Trump Tower, whatever, and he showed me Melania's bedroom, and I kind of freaked and felt really bad. And I hope that's all true.
You got pictures of all that stuff, Sam.
I hope that's all true. But here's my concern, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
If you really feel bad, then you should urge the Donald, and you should go repent before God, not look
yeah,
for
she
salacious.
Says she's done that now, and she just wanted to, instead of having everybody else tell the story, tell it herself.
Why even tell it?
Because it was coming out, she says.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
The first time I ever truly took a drink was the summer before my freshman year of high school.
When I was 12, I went to a party, and everybody was drinking, and so I just grabbed me a beer and started drinking.
The first time I drank, you know, it was fun. Find a game, see if we can do it without getting caught. But I didn't know that I was going to wind up more.
I wasn't drinking beer. It took too long to get drunk, and I didn't like the taste very well.
You know, it got to the point where I was drinking so much, I was getting bored with the feeling. I was getting bored with the buzz.
That's all that goes through your head is, when am I going to get wasted again?
You know, I started in slowly, you know, with pot. Then you just slowly move up the scale. It's the typical story of a drug user.
Beer's the easiest thing for teenagers to get, and so they take one beer, which is like your first step.
Don't even do it. It's not worth it. Take it from somebody who knows.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so I just don't think, even if it's true, even if the story's going to come out, I don't know that I believe that if she's really repentant that she ought to be speaking about it. What you got is a tag team of ladies. In bed with the Democrats and those who want to destroy America, literally saying we're going to impeach Donald if the Russian scandal doesn't get the Donald. Certainly these, you know, tag team of sexual tryst stories with the ladies behind them will. That's my concern. You got a 60 minutes interview coming out this Sunday where she's going to literally speak. I guess Anderson Cooper's going to speak with Stormy Daniels, the adored film star who said she had an affair with the Donald back in 2006. Okay.
I don't get that. Here's what's interesting. Because it's a CBS thing, right? And
yes.
I thought Anderson Cooper was a CNN guy.
Kurt, you don't get it, do you? They're all in bed together. They? Who knows where the money goes and who knows who owns who? We have no idea.
Okay.
It's just a partnership of duopoly, of destruction. That's my point. It's probably ran right for the DNC headquarters, Kurt. Or the RNC headquarters. They want to get him as bad as the Democrats do, right? Okay, what I'm getting at here.
Seems like it.
What I'm getting at here, though, is this isn't about the truth. This isn't about repentance. This isn't about feeling sorry for their families. I feel horrible for Melania. I personally feel bad for the porn star. I think what a sad, sad life for that girl. Man, just think, she's a daughter of God. And if people could treat her like that, and she could learn that God loves her, and, you know, maybe she could find a man that could treat her kindly and love her and teach her about God, and would be much better off. But what's fascinating to me is you got the 60-minute interview that protected Bill from sexual exposure. Now the same 60-minute group, what, Kurt, 25 years later, literally doubles down to attack the Donald. So 60 Minutes, again, fake news on both sides of that coin, avoiding the truth. Now, Karen McDougal's message to Melania Trump, I'm sorry. Well, you know what? I hope that they can take this out of the news. Okay, I think that if there really is healing that needs to be done, let's get that done before God, behind closed doors with the family. I don't know what the truth is. I just know this continued salacious discussion doesn't serve any real purpose unless it's to just, you know, take down the Donald. Now, I'm not really for Donald in the first place because, again, I believe we need to turn to God. It's going to be pretty hard for Donald to turn to God when he's literally funding the military-industrial complex and trusting in the arm of flesh. And then when he literally isn't in sackcloth and ashes trying to repent and change that I can see. And I don't know. I'm not here to judge Donald. But I am here to say I think we're focusing on the wrong issues. Headline says, Melania Trump travels separately en route to Mar-a-Lago after ex-playmate details affair. This is kind of my point. What if Donald and Melania were together trying to truly heal? Now, I would support a message like that. I'd say, you know what? Get these ladies to go away. Donald admits that it's true so that the scandal goes away. In other words, you don't have anything to talk about now. I told you that it was true. Okay, but it might mean the undoing of the president if he admits it's true. He could lie like Bill Clinton all the way to the White House and then, you know, get impeached over it and then admit it's true by force and court of law under penalty of perjury kind of stuff like Bill did. Or he could say, I choose a different road. I'm wrong here. This was wrong. I need healing and I need help. Now, he may lose the presidency over it, Kurt, but it would be the right thing to do, and he might actually save his soul. And he might actually save his marriage over it. And he might actually set a great example for his son, who's in the throes of a divorce right now. So I'm pointing out a completely different direction, Kurt, and I would like to see Melania and Donald together. And maybe they can work through that and have real forgiveness and build trust again. And Donald might not be president at the end of the day, but he might even come out boldly, nobly, and independently and say, you know what? I lost the presidency over this. Moral indiscretions are serious business, ladies and gentlemen. And I pray that I can keep my wife and my family together, and I hope for healing and repentance. And okay, I think that there's a much different road that ought to be taken here by us in the media as we focus on, in my opinion, a narrative that can heal families. And you know what? Popularity and the military-industrial complex and all these different discussions ought to be sidelined. I don't want to hear the salacious details from Stormy or whatever her real name is, Stephanie Clifford or whatever. I don't really want to hear about Karen McDougal. You want to know why? Because we're hearing from all these ladies with a very willing media. But what about the women that literally were raped and sexually and physically assaulted by Bill Clinton? None of those women can get in front of the media to tell their story, Kurt. And I want to know, let's let Donald and his wife try to heal. Let's have Bill Clinton go to jail for his hostile abuse of women, the sexual and physical assaults that took place. I don't know that Donald's been guilty of that kind of violence and sex scenarios even close. So when we bury one story and we use 60 Minutes to do it, and when we resurrect another story and just let it continue, and then these women participate. On one hand, they got to give back the $130,000 to Donald's attorney that kept one of them quiet, but she'll make millions with the promotion. I would like to quietly let that family heal, Kurt. And whatever cost that has, to me, is nothing compared to the blessings that morality and true repentance can bring. That would be my focus. Any thoughts on this, Kurt? Am I crazy on this one?
I don't know what to answer.
What do you think, though? I want to know what you think. What do you think Donald should do in this scenario right now?
Well, I think I've said it, that he needs to, like you've outlined, he needs to turn to God and admit his sins if they're there. I don't know. I wasn't.
I agree.
There.
I don't know either.
It's good for any leader, anybody, anywhere to humble themselves and say, I need, God's help to do better and to, try to make amends for past errors. Those are all smart moves. And then to hope that... hey, you can, do better because there is one big Supreme Court appointment that we all have. And when I say the Supreme Court, I mean the ultimate Supreme Court, and that is with the God of Heaven. When you show up there and will be judged based on what you've done. And
I think by pointing this out, Kurt, we're truly corrected. Showing Donald we're really his friends.
Well, yeah, I certainly agree. And I mean, because we really want solutions for him, for his family, for Mrs. McDougal or Miss McDougal, Mrs. Daniels or Stormy or
it's
whoever
Clifford,
she is.
Stephanie Clifford.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, she has a stage name and
of
she
course.
Has a... and it's just.
And by the way,
confusing.
That's kind of one of the reasons that I'm so against these interviews, because she's promoting herself as Stormy Daniels. She's not promoting herself as Stephanie, a poor woman that a victim here. This is a salacious attempt to garner coverage. And, I hope it's genuine, but I just don't see it that way. Again, all the lawsuits and the rescinding of money and the possible book writing, things we hear about and all that kind of stuff. Look, I would like nothing more than Donald to resign right now and say, listen, I've got to go home to my oldest son and help him and his wife stay together. I've got to go home and repair my marriage, whether it's real or allegations, don't know. And I would like to see Donald turn to family and to God, because I believe that's the best way he could honestly serve his country, Kurt. I really do. Anyway, is anybody pointing out the things that I'm pointing out or focusing on this that you've seen anywhere, Kurt?
Well, I mean, that's why we do this, Sam, is, I mean, if everybody was already pointing it out, we'd be like, hey, we can just do our day jobs and, you know, there's no need for us.
Now, maybe
you know
Donald should just change his name to Dave, Kurt. Think about that idea.
Well, I know it's kind of crazy, but occasionally you get some good biscuits from even, I guess you could call it a garbage can, and Hollywood, you know, before we go there real quick, you know, Roseanne Barr was recently, I guess she's trying to resurrect her old show, and where she plays like a Trump supporter, and she was being interviewed by this Jimmy Kimmel guy, and she says, you know, if you don't watch out, we'll have Pence for president. And I, you know, when you look at this movie, Dave, and if you're not familiar with it, you'll see basically a bad dude as the president, who's a philanderer, et cetera, and all that kind of stuff. And the media just harps on, you know, some of his past sexual stuff, because the media is not going to beat anybody up really on that typically because they like it. But in this movie, they beat him up on what he did in savings and loan fraud, and then don't listen to his ideas, the ideas of this imposter guy that's playing the president. And they try to basically downplay the vice president, so he's just kind of off to Nigeria or whatever. And yet, in the end, the vice president is sworn in as the president, and you have a pretty good man being the president. And you could have a similar kind of situation with a Mike Pence thing, like you mentioned, if President Trump decides that, hey, you know, I can't really get much done here. I've got more, you know, pressing things to do with my family and these issues here. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, move on or resign. You could really have, you know, a similar picture, if you will. That movie.
Now, Kurt, what do you think if Roseanne doesn't want Pence to be president? But you know what? And I agree, Pence wouldn't do a lot of the bold things that Donald has done. He wouldn't highlight the problems of dishonesty in the media. He wouldn't do a lot of the things that I really like that Donald does. At the same time, I believe Mike Pence is one of the most moral people that we have up there. I don't think he's perfect, Kurt. And I don't agree with him on a lot of policy discussions. But I'm telling you right now, we'd have a 10 times more moral president with a lot less scandal behind him if Pence was president. I would welcome it, personally.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Yeah. Would you welcome that solution?
Well, like you say, you know, if you got a really moral president who's pretty much unwilling to, you know, fight the fight and go forward and stuff, you kind of wonder, well, yeah, I mean, you know, there's pluses for each side, but, you know, to get the blessings of God, you've got to have somebody who keeps his commandments, although he can work through almost anyone to get his things accomplished. You know, God can.
Yeah, I would just side with the guy that maybe doesn't have as much fight to, you know, take. But yet an immoral guy, I would say morality in a person is more important than whatever battle they're willing to pick any day. Now, if Pence was literally on the offensive to promote pro-death and things like that, I would disagree. But I would say that Pence is every bit as pro-life as Donald. And so all I can tell you is I would welcome Pence, Mike Pence, as president. It's not my perfect choice for president. I wouldn't vote for him in the beginning. But I think he's a better plan than the Donald, and I think Donald ought to go home and fix his family. I think that'd be one of the most incredible reality checks we could get in the nation. This nation shall endure.